reading from Samuel 1, chapter 11. Saul rescued the city of Jabesh. Naash the Ammonite went up and besieged Jabesh Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said to him, "Make a treaty with us, and we will be subject to you." But Naash the Ammonite replied, "I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out the right eye of every one of you, and so bring disgrace on all Israel." The elders of Jabesh said to him, "Give us 7 days so that we can send messengers throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you." When the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and reported these terms to the people, they all wept aloud. Just then Saul was returning from the fields behind his oxen, and he asked, "What is wrong with everyone? Why are they weeping?" Then they repeated to him what the men of Jabesh had said. When Saul heard their words, the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he burned with anger. He took a pair of oxen, cut them into pieces, and sent the piece by messengers throughout Israel, proclaiming, "This is what will be done to the oxen of anyone who does not follow Saul or Samuel." Then the terror of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out together as one. When Saul mustered them at Bezek, the men of Israel numbered 300,000, and those of Judah 30,000. They told the messenger who had come, "Say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, by the time the sun is hot tomorrow, you will be rescued." When the messenger went and reported this to the men of Jabesh, they were elated. They said to the Ammonites, "Tomorrow we will surrender to you, and you can do to us whatever you like." The next day, Saul separated his men into three divisions. During the last watch of the night, they broke into the camp of the Ammonites and slaughtered them until the heat of the day. Those who survived were scattered, so that no two of them were left together. The people then said to Samuel, "Who was it that asked, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Turn these men over to us, so that we may put them to death." But Saul said, "No one will be put to death today, for this day the Lord had rescued Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us go to Gilgal, and there renew the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal, and made Saul king in the presence of the Lord. There they sacrificed fellowship offerings before the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites held a great celebration.
Loving God, we thank you for your word, and we ask now that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we may hear the things that you want us to hear today. Amen. Well, good morning, lovely people, and wherever you are in the world, it is lovely to have you with us here in Aberystwyth. Now, it's a pretty murky day in Aberystwyth, and that murkiness feels quite apt, actually, given the reading that we have just heard. I don't want to repeat what we have just heard in entirety, but I am going to pick out a few key phrases from it. Obviously, there's war. But there's also weeping, surrender, and of course, who can forget eye gouging? And let's be honest, it is one of those readings that you look at and you think, they let kids read this thing? It's some pretty dark stuff. So, I'm going to take the wusses way out of it and not talk about the merits of eye gouging today. Instead, I'm going to focus on Saul and his response and his actions to what are going on. We know that before, Saul had been anointed as king, but he wasn't quite king in the eyes of all of Israel yet. This was his chance. This was his opportunity to come and draw all the nations together and show who he was, that he really was anointed, and that he really, really did mean business. This is a really special moment in his life. And if you, like me, love superheroes, you can see some similarities between it and what happened in the first ever Superman film, the king of all superhero films. In that film, before Superman had his big battle to prove how awesome he was, he had a little battle with a helicopter and saving Lois Lane so that people would see and accept that he was Superman and he had these special powers. This battle led people to see Saul as a true leader, as a king, and as the anointed person of God. And by the end of it all, Saul is indeed recognized as king over all of Israel. But perhaps what is most significant of it all is how he took an opportunity when it was presented to him. It would have been really easy for Saul to see it kicking off in this foreign land, to see this would-be treaty being made, which would have resulted in eyes being gouged, and said, "I'm not having none of that, no way, Jose, I'm going back to the donkeys." But instead, he saw it and was led by the Spirit to see it as an opportunity to step up to the mark, as an opportunity to prove that he was the anointed one of God. Now, last week, Liz spoke a lot about waiting. And up to this point, Saul had waited for God to move. Now, it was his time to take his opportunity. And just as there is a time to wait, so there is a time to take an opportunity. And it is a key biblical theme, one that we see repeated throughout the scriptures. Knowing when it is right to take the opportunity to prove who God is, to prove the anointing that is placed on us, and taking that opportunity. Let's look at the Gospels for a moment, and let's look at how Jesus responded to people. It is very, very rare indeed that when Jesus performed a miracle, shall we say, he initiated that miracle. Sometimes we get in our heads that Jesus and his disciples rock up in a town and say, "Bring us your sick, let's sort them out." But it hardly happened at all. In fact, most of the times Jesus performed miracles were after he was interrupted. When he'd be walking along a road or speaking to a crowd and somebody would come to him and say, "I need help," or even on occasion just touch him and receive the healing power that comes from him. Jesus, in every interruption, sees an opportunity to show forth the goodness of the kingdom of God. And that is just as true of us as well, as it was for Saul. When we accept the Lord in our hearts and in our lives, and we receive that anointing that comes through the Holy Spirit, we also have the opportunity to demonstrate the full power and the full love of the kingdom of God. The great challenge to us is knowing when to do it, and perhaps even more so, having the courage to do it. To take those interruptions, those things that happen in an everyday situation, which happen to us all, and see them as an opportunity to show forth the awesomeness of God. Sometimes they are just thrust upon us. Many years ago, before I was a vicar in fact, I decided that what I really needed to do with my life was get fit. And so I joined a gym. And my gym routine was this. I would go to the gym, get dressed into all my gear, go in, go on a rowing machine, and spend the next half hour or so walking around and drinking Lucozade. But after that strenuous exercises, I knew that what I really needed was a relax in the hot tub. So sure enough, after all of this, I'd get changed again and go into the hot tub. Now, there is one thing that I didn't want to do while sat in the hot tub relaxing my muscles after all these arduous things I'd been doing. And that was make conversation with people who I didn't know. Should I have bumped into a mate of mine, a buddy? No worries, we would chat away for ages and ages. But I didn't want to speak to someone I didn't know. It was all a little bit awkward for that. But sure enough, on this one day, there was an empty hot tub. And I knew that I could go and sit in it. So I went in, stuck on the button and relaxed. A few minutes later, another guy comes and joins me. And he's a young guy, round about my age perhaps at the time, And he's looking just as awkward as I am. But his awkwardness means that he wants to strike up a conversation because the silence was that bad. And so we got chatting, and straight away you could see this was a good guy. We could get on, we could have a laugh, and we started to talk about our lives and what we did for a living. I told him what I did for a living, but I was about to leave that to go and train to be a vicar, and he told me about how he was training to be a policeman. And so we talked and we talked, and he was fascinated to know about my journey. How would I give up my job to do this thing? And so I told him a lot about my faith, and then he started asking me questions about my faith. He started asking me about Jesus, and we just talked and talked and talked for what felt like ages about the reality of God. And he said after leaving, I want to find out more about this, and I'm going to go and I'm going to find out more about it. I've never heard these things talked about before. Now, I never saw him again. And I don't know if indeed he went and got more information or joined a church or anything like that. But I know that God was with us in that hot tub. God gave the opportunity. And because of him more than me, that opportunity was taken for his kingdom to shine. How many of those moments do we get? How many do we get in a given year, a given month? Or even a given week, or perhaps even in a given day? How many times do opportunities come up for us to share the love of God, but we just walk past them because our own busyness gets in the way? Our own desire not to be interrupted gets in the way. Our own desire to run away from what could be an awkward battle, as was in the case of Saul's, gets in the way. How many times do we miss the opportunity to show and demonstrate the power of God because we don't want to? Here's the truth. God gives us opportunities all the time, every single day even, to share his love, to demonstrate his kingdom power. God wants to see people come to know him. God wants to see sinners turn to him. God wants to show his forgiving love. God wants to see miracles take place as well. God desires all these things to happen. It's up to us to recognize those opportunities. What about us in our daily lives when things are normal? What about our churches? What about people who come in just to see our stained glass windows, to see our food bank, to pay for car parking sometimes, to go into a church for the first time, to go to a wedding, to go to a funeral, to go to a baptism of a family member? What about all the opportunities we get all the time? God wants to use every opportunity to share his kingdom. What about us being in this abnormal situation where we can't do those things? Surely there's no opportunity to share his love in lockdown. Let's look at the last few months. Did you know that in early March, when the COVID-19 pandemic started to hit Europe, internet searches about prayer increased by 50%? Did you know that churches across the UK and here in Wales are experiencing an increase in demand for people wanting to know more about the Lord? People who want to sign up for Alpha courses online. God is presenting us opportunities all the time. The challenge for us is to see them and recognize them, just as Saul did in that reading. Every day we can begin by praying, Lord, show me the opportunities to share your glory. Show me where you are at. In some ways, it's a dangerous prayer, because when we pray it, God listens and God moves. But if we are willing to move with God, what a change it can make. What a wonderful thing it is. And what a wonderful thing can happen for his kingdom here on earth. Here in Aberystwyth, the rest of Wales, across the UK and even the world, God is always on the move. let's move with him. Let's take our opportunities and let us share in the magnificent, wonderful things that he wants us to do. Amen. Speaking about taking opportunities, I read a wonderful story this week about a former Welsh international rugby player and his journey to faith. This guy retired from rugby and did what a lot of sports people did, fell into a pit of depression. He took a job with a photocopying company, but of course it didn't live up to what he did before. Sure enough, one day in the office he got a phone call from a Christian retreat centre in West Wales asking them for a photocopier to be delivered. So he got in the van and delivered the photocopier. While he was there, they spiritually recognised his needs and prayed for him. After that, he came to faith and was accepted by the Lord. And that word acceptance was so important for him. Having had his name shouted and being accepted for being an awesome talent of a rugby player in the past, and then seeing all that go, now he could be accepted by something that was far greater and far higher. The word acceptance, so important to us all. And important as it would be to Saul in our reading today. It feels like quite a while ago that Saul was anointed to be king over Israel. And while some people in the land accepted who he would be, others didn't. And just as some people thought he was the bee's knees, others thought, no way, Jose, is he going to be our king. Saul was in a particularly peculiar predicament. Most people who become a king or a queen, a monarch in fact, do so after inheriting the title from a parent. Saul was establishing a throne and so had to fight to be accepted. That fight brought the people of Israel close enough to a civil war before the events in the scripture reading today and his final acceptance. How lovely, how wonderful, and how special he would have felt to be finally accepted by all people as the king. Finally accepted by people as their leader and their ruler. Finally accepted for being who he was. Even though Saul lived all those years ago, and even though he was the tallest and the most handsome in the land, surely he wanted to be accepted. Because acceptance goes to the very core of who we are as human beings. Last week, Liz spoke about the need to be liked. And just as we need to be liked, so we also need to feel accepted as well. Being accepted and liked are slightly different things. You might like me, for example, for being a nice person, but you may not accept me in what I do as a vicar. They are two different things. And Saul might have been liked for being a good bloke, looks after his donkeys well, mind, but it didn't mean the people needed to accept him as the king of Israel. But here's a reality thing for us. All of us need to feel accepted on one level. And when we don't, it can hurt a lot. When I finished university and got my degree in leisure and tourism management, I was full of confidence. I was ready to take on the world and I was going to get an awesome job. And sure enough, following graduation, I got open the newspaper and saw a bang-on job that I wanted to apply for. I phoned up, applied for the job, and brilliantly, I got an interview. And so, I walked into, well, swaggered in fact, an office in Cardiff with a wide-awake suit on that my mum got me for my graduation, the silkiest of silk ties, and I gave the worst interview in the history of the world. And sure enough, I didn't hear from them again. Not to worry, at the time I thought, though, I was a bit gutted, there'll be other jobs. And so as time went on, I applied for job after job after job, got interview after interview, didn't hear back from some people, and didn't get a job. And all this went on for a pretty long time. And in fact, I was unemployed in two spells for nearly a year. In that time, I went from having all the confidence of a recent graduate right to the bottom. And as time went on, I went from feeling quite happy, comfortable, jokey, even in fact, about being unemployed, thinking that, well, the hours are great, but the pay is rubbish, to really just feeling depressed by it all. I felt judged by people. I felt put down by people. I felt that people were thinking I was lazy. I felt that people were thinking I was useless. I was feeling all these things. And perhaps even worst of all, I was feeling pitied by people, which was the hardest pill of all to swallow. In all of that time, God was teaching me so many lessons through various things about being unemployed. I managed to meet and befriend and become good friends with people from completely different backgrounds with me. People who had the blessings in life that I had had, and coming to realise that we were all in the same boat and we were all people created the same after all. And finally, after a lot of prayer and when I really felt at my lowest ebb, I got a job that I would love and a job that would lead the path to doing what I do today. But for me, getting that job had nothing to do really with money. It had nothing really to do with status in what I did. It had nothing to do with whatever suit my mom was going to get me next to wear to work. It had everything to do with feeling accepted. Finally, after all this time, I felt accepted, loved, and valued the same as everyone else. I felt like I could contribute like everyone else. And when I look back at it now, and when I think about Saul in his journey to feeling accepted as well, though, let's be honest, his situation was very different to mine, a couple of challenges come out. The first is, are we willing to be people who accept despite who a person is? God calls us to accept all people, whatever their status and station in life, not to judge, not to look down, not to pity, not to patronise, but to see them and value them for who they are, no matter what they earn, no matter if they earn anything at all, to see them and value them for who they are, but also to realise, and maybe this is the hardest bit of all, that we ourselves are accepted. Because here's the thing about Saul. Being recognised as the king of Israel isn't what ultimately made him the king of Israel. What made him king of Israel is God recognising that he would be the king of Israel and that anointing. He was accepted by God way before he was accepted by people. And it was that acceptance by God that was the most important thing. The thing for me in my struggle was how much I may or may not have been accepted by people, because I turned to the Lord, I was accepted by God. And the thing for us to remember, wherever we are at today as well, is we are accepted by the Lord. And I don't know where you are at today. I don't know if you're happy in life, happy with your lot and thinking I'm doing all right, or if you're struggling in some way, if you're struggling with your identity, if you're struggling with who you are, if you're struggling with your status, if you're struggling with your past, if you're struggling with anything at all and feeling unvalued and unaccepted, I want to tell you now that the Lord accepts you, that the Lord loves you, and you are worthy in his eyes. When we turn to him, When we repent of the things of the past, we are forgiven. And the slate is completely wiped clean, and he holds no records of wrongs. No record of those wrongs is kept by the Lord. The Lord accepts us. And there's a wonderful parallel between what Saul did with the people of Israel and what the Lord does for us. In that reading, Saul could have slayed those people of Israel who never accepted him as king, who now had changed their mind. In fact, he could have demonstrated his newly recognized kingly power by putting them to the sword and saying, any of you want to come against me, you're in for this as well. But he doesn't. When they recognize him as king, he says, nobody will die today. And he gives them that grace. And just as he gave that grace, so God, through his Son Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, gives us the grace to be forgiven as well. Today we are forgiven. Today we are redeemed. And today we are accepted. And I want to speak to where you are at to tell you, to remind you, that you are accepted by the Lord. Whatever's going on in there, know that you're accepted. And if, for whatever quirk that this particular bit has come up on your Facebook feed or on YouTube or even somewhere else, I want you to know as well that when you turn to the Lord, you are accepted too. And I just want us all to know that accepting power of the Lord in our hearts, in our lives, and in our homes where we are at today. And so I'm just going to finish by praying for us that we would know that value that the Lord places on us wherever we're at and whoever we are. So Father God, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died and rose again for us. We thank you that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed, and that we are accepted. And whatever we are feeling today before people, before the world, may we know that we are accepted by you. Bless us where we are at. Bless our homes, bless our families, bless our loved ones, bless all who we are. May we know how special we are in your eyes. Draw close to us, we pray. For in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And so let us continue in a spirit of prayer.